Okay, Seif Daf is Daf Tzadik Vav in Maseches Ksubis. We thought yesterday that we would start the new parak, but we still have a line and a half to finish it, which we didn't want to rush through. So let us go to the last two lines of parak Misha Hayanasui. Two dots right before the parak finishes. The Mishnah had said, quoted a case where there is a cycle and a circle of collection, where A says, I'm not going to collect from C, so B collects from C, and A collects from B, and then C goes back and collects from A. So there is a circle of collection. So the Gemara just ends up, the Mishnah ended off and said, the same thing applies in the following two cases. Bal chov and isha bal as chov. So says the Gemara, v'chein bal chov, tana v'chein bal chov u'shnei lekuchos, v'chein isha bal as chov u'shnei lekuchos. The same thing applies in these two cases. What are these two cases? So first, bal chov and shnei lekuchos. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, Shimon owes Reuven money, Shimon owes Reuven $100, and then Shimon sells his property to two people, each for 50. Each for 50, okay? So Reuven is the creditor. So now he goes to the two people who bought Shimon's property. He goes to the second one and says, I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to bother you about your property. So Reuven has nothing to do with the second guy who bought the property. So what happens there? Reuven goes to the first guy who bought the property and collects from him because he's the Baal Chov. Then the first guy who bought collects from the second guy who bought because he was earlier. And then once the first guy bought, Reuven goes collects from the first guy again. And then the second guy goes back to Reuven and says, you weren't allowed to take this stuff. You said, well, you wouldn't argue with me. And it goes around and around. That's the case of Baal Chov and Shtei Lekuchos. And the other case of Baal Chov and Shtei Lekuchos is similar. A woman is owed a ksuba, and the husband sold the designated property for the ksuba, or all the property he has, to two people. And the woman goes to the second person who bought the second half of the stuff. I'm not going to argue with you. And again, it starts. She goes to the first one to collect her ksuba. She collects. Then the first one goes to the second one and says, "I'm an earlier lokeach, so you have to give it to me." So once he collects, the woman goes to the first one. So then the second one goes back to the woman and says that, you said you're not going to take any piece of this land. And Choseres Chalilos. And it goes in a circle. Those two cases are similar to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah said the halacha is Yaseb Sharet. That one has to make some type of compromise in order to work things out. Okay. The Gemara, beginning of Sanhedrin, talks about the godless of Pshara more than Din. Again, here, this is a different type of Pshara. The Sanhedrin, it talks about if you have a choice to have Din or not, it's still better to do Pshara. Here, you don't have it. There is no Din. There is no Din to do. So therefore, you have to make some type of Pshara. Okay. 11th Perek. Tzadik Hei Amid Beis. Hadra Lach Mishayin Asui. Here we go. Almana Nizonis Minichse Yisomim Ma'ase Yodeh Shalohen. An almana who gets mizonos from the nechasim of Yisomim, her earnings go to them. We've quoted this a number of times in the Masechta already, but this is now the Mishnah itself. So an almana that gets mizonos, gets supported by the Yisomim, she has to give her earnings to them. So you remember back on Daf Nun Gimel, Rashi and Daf Nun Gimel, the Gemara there spoke about a case where a woman is mocheles her ksuba. Mochelas or ksuba. So the Rashi there quoted on Daf Gimel and Aleph, the Gemara there says, Ibda Mizonos. If she's Mochelas or ksuba, she loses her Mizonos. Rashi there says, this only means Mizonos. This is Rashi on Nun Gimel Amid Aleph. Rashi quotes that she only loses her Mizonos Ba'al Menusa after she dies. But the Alma'abit, the Mizonos during her lifetime, she does not lose, even if she's Mochelas or ksuba. Why? Because the Rush there explains Rashi that during one's lifetime, during her lifetime, so that chiyuv is either daraisa according to some tanaim, and even if not, it's a separate takana derabanan of mizonos for the wife. Says the Rush, v'halesa klal. There are some that say that she loses her mizonos totally from the husband if she's mochalek subasa. V'halesa klal, the mizonos ishto einam kitznaik suba el laman damer daraisa ulaman damer darabanan tikru lamasi yadea takas mizonos. That's a simen chav dalid in perek dalid. The Achronim learned from that Rush and Rashi on Daf Nun Gimel that the mizonos that a woman gets during her lifetime and after her lifetime are two different chiyuvim. Two different chiyuvim. It's not that the woman gets mizonos during her lifetime, and that's humshach, that continues after the husband dies. No, you see clearly from that Rashi and Rashi on Rosh and Daphne and Gimel that it's two separate chiyuvim. And there are nafkaminas between whether it's a continuation of the chiyuv when she was alive or a new one. The hafla there earlier on Daphne and Hay says that is the reason that a woman cannot be mochel. Can be mochel certain rights that she has during her lifetime, but she can't be mochel it after her lifetime yet, because that's a totally new chiyuv. the mizonah that she gets after her lifetime, she maybe has less power. Or the Pnei Yeshua earlier says, a difference might be that the metaltalin that the Yisomim have for mizonos after the woman dies are not considered metaltali diyasmi, which would not be meshubit for mizonos. Why? Because the chiyav just started then. The chiyav just started with the Yisomim. It's a new chiyav after their father dies, and therefore that would be considered, it's their chiyav to pay. It's not that it's a chiyav that they yarsha from the father. It's their chiyav to pay, says the Pnei Yeshua. So it's a different type of chiyav. So here, as our Mishnah talks about, the Mishnah starts talking about the mizonos that a woman gets from Yisomim, that according to the Achronim, as they explain the Rishonim, that is a new chiyav. It's not exactly the same exact chiyav that the woman, not exactly the same exact schus that the woman got when her husband was alive. Okay, that's just background for the first line. So an amana that gets mizonos, her maisi adayim go to the yarshim. The ein chayavin bikfurasa, and these yarshim that are giving her mizonos are not obligated to bury her. Not obligated to bury her. Again, Rav Yashiv here points out, of course, there's a mitzvah for every Jew to bury another Jew. There's a mitzvah for every Jew. There's a mitzvah of, we learn to keep cover, tik beredo by yomahu, pasuk et kiseitse. There's a mitzvah for every Jew. The question is, you know, first come priority, who has the responsibility? Who's got to pay for it? And if not, then everybody is, it's called a base mitzvah, and everybody has a responsibility. But, per se, so that's what the Mishnah is talking about here, that they are not obligated in her kvura. Why? Yarsheha, yarshek subasa, chayavet bikvurasa. We had this earlier in the Masechta. The Mishnah seems to be talking about a case where there are two groups of yarshim. She has her own personal yarshim, and the husband, her dead husband has yarshim. So her dead husband's yarshim have to support her and give her mizonos, but because her own yarshim are going to yarshin her ksuba, so therefore they, the husband's yarshim, are not chayav to bury her, her own yarshim are obligated to bury her. Period. Says the Gemara Ibailu. Nizonis tnan, oha nizonis tnan. What does the Mishnah mean? Our Gersa obviously is nizonis. The question is that the correct version of our Mishnah? Almana, and Almana gets fed from Yisomim, and her earnings are go to them? Or Hanizonis Tanan, and Almana, who gets fed? The Almana, which gets fed? Mashma, there's an Almana that doesn't get fed. Nizonis Tanan, she has to get fed, or Hanizonis Tanan, and Almana, who gets fed, her earnings go. Meaning, Nizonis Tanan uka anshe galil, we had a machlokas earlier, actually a machlokas in Minhag, in a Mishnah earlier, you see on the side, Nundalan Mabez, there was a machlokas between the Anshe Galil and the Anshe Yehuda, what they wrote in the Ksuba. Anshe Galil wrote in the Ksuba that a woman will be able, it says in the Ksuba, a woman is able to get mizonos until she decides to get married again, so meaning it's her choice, and the Anshe Yehuda said no, the woman will have mizonos until the Yershim decide to pay her her Ksuba. So there's a big difference in the language there. Do the Yarshim have the rights to say, that's it, we're not paying you mizonos anymore, we're giving you the ksuba? So the Gemara asks, let's go with Rashi's pshat of the question first. Who was Rebbe so same this Mishnah like? Rebbe wrote this Mishnah anonymously. Is he writing it like following the Anshe Galil or Anshe Yehuda? Again, Nizonis Tanan, is it Nizonis Ka Anshe Galil? Like Anshe Galil who say that the Yershim do not have a choice, Velosagi Lo Yavala, and there's no way that they don't give her mizonos, so it's an Amana gets mizonos, and Maisi Yadayim go to them. O Dilma Hanizonis Tanan, or is it Hanizonis, a woman who gets mizonos, Uka Anshe Yehuda, Vibo Lo Yavala, and if they wanted, they could choose not to give her mizonos, and then of course her Maisi Yadayim would stay by her in her own possession. That's Rashi Pshat of the question. Who is Rebbe? Who did Rebbe anonymously write the Mishnah like? Tosis on the bottom does not like this. What? That's the Kasha. Who did Rebbe anonymously write the Mishnah like? He does not think that's the question because, as you look earlier, we know who the halach is like. That can't be the question. So it says Tosis on the bottom, really the question is within Anshe Yehuda. Anshe Yehuda say that the Yarshim have the choice to pay her ksuba. So it says Tosus. According to Anshe Galil, there's no question. Because since the Yarshim do not have a choice, then it's a real takana for them to get mizonos. So obviously, the Maisi Yadayim would go to them. But according to Anshe Yehuda, who have the choice to break up this mizonos that's coming to them, that reflects possibly that this chiyuv is a low-level takana derabanan. So therefore, maybe, so that's the question of the Gemara. So maybe then, they wouldn't get the Maisi Yadayim. since they have the choice of giving her mizonos, so then maybe it's not a strong enough takana that Chazal would have given them her ma'isi yadayim. That's the question of the Gemara, but it's within Anshe Yehuda. Okay, two ways to understand the question. Tashma, says the Gemara, let's try to prove it. Amar Reb Zeira, Amar Shmuel. So let's go with Rashi Pshat of the question, just to keep it simple. Again, who is the Mishnah like? Anshe Yehuda or Anshe Galil, meaning do the Yarshim have a choice or not? Mitzias Amana La'atzma. Shmuel says, the Mitzia, if an Amana finds something, she gets to keep it. It does not go to the Yarshim. So says the Gemara, if we say that the Mishnah is hanizonis, meaning it's a woman who gets mizonos, an amana who gets mizonos, so then there's a choice in the matter, so then we understand Shmuel's statement, because the Mishnah is talking about a case of hanizonis, and when Shmuel says she can keep her mitzias, it must be talking about a case where they're not feeding her. And if they're not feeding her, that's why she keeps her found items. But if you say the Mishnah is going nizonis, like the Anshe Galil, like that they have to feed her, and there's no choice, so they have a kabal. So if they have to feed her, so why don't they have the same status as the husband did? Just like the husband, midirabanan, had rights to anything the woman finds, all her mitzias. So we should say so too, the mitzias of an isha should go to the yarshim. So this proves, the Gemara thinks right now, that the Mishnah should be hanizonis. Because if it was nizonis, if it was that the yarshim have to, so why would she be able to keep her mitzias? So the Gemara answers, no. The olam em lecha nizonis, not really, the Mishnah is nizonis, meaning that it could even go according to the opinion that a woman has to get fed, and there's no choice in the matter. If a woman is getting mizonos, so why should her ma'isi yadayim not go to the people providing her mizonos? So Gemara says it's simple. Time at my amar abadim mitzias isha labayla, so tevi la eva. What's the reason the husband gets the mitzias? Does the husband get the mitzias specifically because he gives him mizonos? No. There's a specific reason why the husband has rights to the findings of the woman. Why? Because of eva. Because you want to keep the shalom bias. You want to make sure, like, if the husband is giving in all of these, providing for all of these privileges and presents for the woman, so you want him to get stuff. If he knows that if she finds things, she's going to keep it, that's going to cause a lack of shalom bayis. And he's going to be upset and maybe not even want to give her. Hani tavi lu eva, for the yarshim. There's no eva with the yarshim. The yarshim have an obligation. We're not worried about the loving relationship between the yarshim and the husband. So therefore, the reason wouldn't apply. So even if the yarshim have a obligation to feed her mizonos, it's still possible that the woman will be able to keep her own mitzias. Period. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Next statement. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, Kol malachos she'isha osa labayis. Once we're talking about the almana, so now we're talking about other responsibilities or privileges that a woman has to the yarshim. Kol malacha she'isha osa labayla, amana osa liyarshim. Any malacha that a woman does, all the malachas that a woman does to her husband, which malachas? We had this earlier, the Mishnah on Daf Nun Tes. She grinds certain amounts, she bakes, tochenes, ofe, all those malachos. So whatever she does, she had done to her husband, she is also obligated to do to the yarshim. Chutz, except for mimizika sakos, except for pouring them wine and making their beds, or at least getting their beds ready to sleep in, or washing their face, hands, and feet. She does not have to do any of these. Why? Why doesn't she have to do any of these to the kids? So Rashi quotes, Machlokas Rashi, and Chizu Kubetzes B'Shem Rashi. Rashi here quotes, because these malachos are Chiba V'Hergol Davar. These are malachos that are, very, a husband and wife type of malachas. They're to generate chiba, to wash his feet, to pour him wine. So that's inappropriate for the woman to do to these yarshim, to her husband's children. That's Rashi here. The Shita Kubetzes quotes Rashi a little differently, that it's a genai for her to do these. Not dafka, it's a chiba, and therefore it's inappropriate. It's a genai for her to do these malachas. Says the Shar Masarni Balacha, Lamayin Afkamina, what if there are female yarshim? We throw a female in there and they're feeding her. So, if it's an issue of chiba, and therefore she shouldn't be showing chiba and ava, and it's a loving type of of a romantic even type of act, so that she shouldn't be doing that to the sons of her previous husband. But if it's the Kavis, so what's the difference? So she helps them wash their face. She helps them, there's no issue if it's an issue of chiba. But if it's an issue of gnai, these are very inferior and mundane and menial type of malachas. So then maybe even if there are females, she shouldn't have to do them. Okay, that's a nafka mina. The Sha'ar Mitzvah of Halacha suggests between these two formulations, Rashi here and Rashi in the Chita B'Kubetzis. Okay. Amar Rava, next, I skipped. Amar Rav Shua ben Levi. Kol malachos sheha eved osa l'rabo, talmid osa l'rabo. All malachos that an eved, just talking about an eved kenani. All malachos that an eved kenani is obligated to do for his master. A student, a talmid, is obligated to do for his rebbe. Chutz mehataras minol, except for untying his sandals. Why? Rashi quotes, because that is a malacha that if people see you doing it, they'll think you're an Eved Kenani. They'll think you're an Eved. Untying somebody's shoes, it's an Eved type of malacha. Therefore, you're not allowed to do it. It could lead to marriage issues. They'll think you're an Eved. You'll marry somebody who you'll be set up with a shifcha. So it could lead to problems. So therefore, a Talmud has to do malachas for his Rebbe, except for this one. Amar Rava, lo amron ela b'makam she'ein makirin oso. When is a Talmud not allowed to do this for his Rebbe? Only in a place where they don't know who he is. They don't recognize him. Ava b'makam she'ein makirin oso les labba. But if they know who he is, then even this malacha would be allowed. Amar of Ashi, another limitation. Ubemakam she'ein makirin oso nami. Even in a place where they don't know him, when is it usur to untie the shoes of the Rebbe? Lo amron el delo manach tefillin. It's only if he doesn't wear tefillin. This person doesn't wear tefillin. They're like, because usually an Eved does not wear tefillin. Avamana tefillin less lamba. Again, if he wears tefillin, no problem. Okay, no problem if he wears tefillin, because Rashi says, Ein derech avadim lahaniach tefillin. It's not the derech of avadim to wear tefillin. And Tosas also says, and Tosas aval, even though we saw earlier in Ksubis, right, quotes Chaf Chesim Abeis, we have a statement which said that if an Eved wears tefillin in front of his master, that is not a simon that the master freed the Eved. So doesn't that show that an Eved can wear tefillin? Tosfos says, you're right. Sometimes he does, but it's not normal. It's not so common. It's not normal for an Eved to, it's not common for an Eved to wear tefillin. That's what the Ritva here says also. V'dafta demanach lehu tadir. When do we say that wearing tefillin is a raya that a person is not an Eved? Only where he always wears tefillin. Dilo manach lehu tadir, if he doesn't wear them, afilu Eved nami, zimna demanach tefillin lakoy ba'alma. Sometimes an Eved wears tefillin, sometimes an Eved wears tefillin. What's the issue with an Eved wearing tefillin? So it's the same issue with an Isha wearing tefillin. Eved and a similar issue. Yeah, Eved and Isha are both peturos from mitzvah saseishas van grama. Tefillin is a mitzvah saseishas van grama. There's a machlokas. What would make tefillin as van grama in Erevin? There's a machlokas about whether tefillin is balayla or not, and there's a machlokas whether tefillin is b'shabbos v'yantif or not. So we paskin laila is zman tefillin, but Shabbos and Yontif is not zman tefillin. That's what makes it a zman grama for us. Shabbos and Yontif. Why? We don't wear tefillin because Shabbos is an os. Shabbos is an os, and tefillin is an os, and therefore we don't have to wear tefillin on Shabbos. And we mentioned back in Erevin, the Chazal, Rabbeinu Bachai quotes this, that really, the pasuk says, I think it's shoftim, al pishnayim yakum davar, right? With two edim, the thing will be established. We always need two edim, an os is an eid. We always need two edim. So on a weekday, we have tefillin and bris milah. On Shabbos, we have Shabbos and bris milah. Shabbos is an os, milah is an os. So that's why we have two osos, so no tefillin on Shabbos. Therefore, there's a question, how do you categorize tefillin in terms of muksa? That's a separate machlokas, the Beis Yosef talks about, but that's why we pass in tefillin is a mitzvah aseh shahazman grama because of Shabbos and Yontif. Then the question is, once it's a zman grama, can women and avadim do it? Can they do it? This Gemara says clearly that sometimes avadim wore. But we've discussed a number of times, can women wear? They do other zman gramas, and we encourage them. Women hear shofar, women shake a lulav. So what about tefillin? Yep. So the Gemara in Erevin discusses this, right? The Tosas that discusses the Chazal, Michal Bashal, what tefillin? And Tosas there says, Tosas quotes there, that if it's a zman grama, hayu mochin biyada. They wouldn't want women to wear tefillin. Shenire kimosifa. It appears like she's being mosif. So what does that mean? It's a zman grama. What do you mean? Women generally can do zman grama, so what's different about tefillin? Why do we discourage women about tefillin, and maybe we can throw in tzitzis as well. There are two general reasons that seem to be one less famous, one more famous. The less famous one seems to be the targum Yonasan ben Uziel in Parshas Kisetze on the pasuk Lo Yekli Gever al Isha. Men, women wearing women's clothing, and vice versa. So the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel there in Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Hey says, "Lo yehe gulyan de tzitzis v'tfilin dehinun tikune gvar al ita." Tzitzis and tfilin have the status of beged ish, and that is why women shouldn't wear it, because it has the status of beged ish. So you might ask, was that originally, or once men started wearing tfilin, it's gotten the status, and therefore now it is? Okay, either way. The other somebody's here was early, so the times of the Gemara. So that's why. So that's one pshat. The other pshat, which is quoted in the poskim in Hilchas Tefillin and Simon Lamed Ches, where this is quoted, the Shulchan Aruch quotes Lamed Ches Dalid that Nashim and Avadim are pater because this is Man Grama, and then the Rama adds if women want to be machmer on themselves, Mochin biyada. We protest. We don't say this by other mitzvahs Man Grama generally. Why? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, "Mebnei shetzrichin gufnaki." Gufnaki. So what does that mean? By tefillin, this at least applies by tefillin, not by tzitzis. By tefillin, there's counter pressure. What's the counter pressure? What are we doing by tefillin? We're taking the ksav of the Torah, the klaf, and putting it on us. We're wrapping ourselves in the Torah, in the Dvar Hashem. That's very risky. That's very risky. What are we thinking about? Are our bodies clean? Are our thoughts clean? But you know what? We don't have a choice. If we have an obligation, we don't have a choice. You know, we already limited it to not wearing tefillin all day. We already lowered the chiyuv. Right? The Prima Gadim, quoting the Bir Alach in Hilchas Tefillin, talks about, is the chiyuv to wear all day? Is that Daraisa or Darabanan? If it's Daraisa, what are we doing today? But really, we've already lowered it, but you know, we can't lower it anymore. Because we have to wear tefillin, so we do the best we can. But to put yourself into a situation voluntarily, there's no downside by lulav. There's no downside by shofar. There's a downside by tefillin, because it's very, very risky. So that's why we say, if you don't have to, it's better not to. That's tzrichin gufnaki, that's generally how it's formulated, and that's why we discourage women from wearing the tefillin. And the Eved, we would also, because he also would be potter. But again, this Gemara said, sometimes Avadim would wear tefillin. What about tzitzis? Okay, a separate issue. Tzitzis is discussed in Ilcha Tzitzis, but again, The beged ish isha and the against tradition aspect would definitely apply bisman hazeh. But tzitzis also has other reasons, not for now. Okay, yeah.
According to the os issue,
while we discussed.
There's a downside.
What's the downside of having a third os? Because then I think some of the poskims formulated they bring mezalzel in the os of Shabbos. What do you need another os for? This is Shabbos. We have Shabbos. What do you need the other os for? So it's two osos. There is a discussion we discussed. I think it was a Radvaz, to look it up again, that said, what if a person does not have a bris mila? Should he wear tefillin on Shabbos? What if he's a mitzvah echav machmas mila? Should he wear tefillin on Shabbos? Right? He needs the two osos. So again, that's, we paskin lo plug. Paskin no. But either way, that's at least you understand the theory of it. Yeah. Nira kemosifa. So maybe. That's why I don't know maybe this is the pshat that if a woman takes it upon, because you have all this counter pressure not to wear it, and she still goes and wears it, that's giving the impression that it's a real obligation. That's maybe what Nira Kamosifa is, because she's taking it very seriously. Okay, that is the issue a little bit of tefillin. Next, okay, four lines of a little agadata. Again, the end of Ksubis has a lot of agadata. We'll get to the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Gemaras. Amar Reb Chaver Abba, Amar Reb Yochanan, Kol Amoneya Talmido Milasham Shokila Moneya Meno Chesed. Anybody who prevents their student from servicing them is preventing them from Chesed, meaning a Rebbe should allow his student to serve him. You're even removing Yira Shemayim from him, right? Because it says in Perkei Avos, Yiras Rabcha Kamar Shemayim, or Rabcha War Shemayim. So giving fear to your Rebbe and honoring your Rebbe will bring you to Yira Shemayim. So therefore, a Rebbe should be a little flexible. Yira Shakai Ya'azov. Right? So you have to make sure that a Rebbe allows his Talmud to service him. And this reminds us of the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, Gedola Shimusha Yoser Milimuda, it says on Daf Zayin, that Zayin Mabez, that the greater is servicing, just watching the Rebbe. What he does, servicing the Rebbe, either greater than Limuda. Gedola Shimusha Yoser Milimuda. There's also a fascinating Gemara in Brachos, I think we've mentioned it once or twice before, on Daf Mem Zayin Mabez. The Gemara there is talking about what is the halachic definition of an Am Ha'aretz. So nowadays we use the phrase very colloquially. He's an Am Ha'aretz, Chas V'Shalom, or I'm an Am Ha'aretz, or he's an Am. Right. So but that in the Gemara there were certain people you were not allowed to have a zimun with, an Am Ha'aretz. So who is an Am Ha'aretz? So the Gemara has six different pshatim. The first five are very understandable. Who's an Am Ha'aretz? Kol she'ino kari kriyash ba'shachas ha'arvis. Whoever doesn't say kriyash I'm not going to be makabel ma'achas shemayim. That's a serious problem. Somebody who doesn't wear tefillin. Somebody doesn't wear tzitzis. Somebody doesn't put up a mezuzah. Somebody doesn't send his kids to yeshiva. Kol mi she'ish lo banim ve'inam agadim l'tam ha'Torah. Last shita, achirim omrim, afilu kara v'shana v'loshimish talmud chacham hareza am ha'aretz. Even if you have somebody who is a great scholar, but he has no rebbe, hareza the am ha'aretz. Loshimish talmud chacham. Rav Soloveitchik, other achronim as well, but I heard it from Rav Soloveitchik, explain what does this gemara mean? Because having a rebbe is part of, one gets a warped vision and a warped sense of what the Torah is saying. If you don't have a rebbe to teach you what's the hashkafas ha'Torah, you can't just look at the texts. You can't just look at the text and paskin based on that without having a rebbe. You have to have a rebbe. And that's harizama aretz. And that's this gemara. That, kolomea talmida be l'shamsho. Right? You're going to lose your shemayim. Because there has to be the rebbe talmud. There has to be the rebbe talmud relationship. It's even a gemara in Baba Kama. It's quoted by the Achronim also. The gemara in Baba Kama daf chaf. Middle of nowhere. In the sugya of zenen of zelochaser. So says the gemara there. One Amora asked the other Amora a question, and the Amora, before he answered, he says, Amarle, second line of Chavim Abayz, L'chi teshamesh li. Do some service for me before I answer your question. So the Gemara says, Shakal Sudre, he took his scarf, Karachle, he wrapped it around his neck. So he says, okay, now I can answer you. That's what's going on there in that Gemara. Rabbi Hananel says, Shamish, Ketalmid L'Rav. Rebbe wanted to create the Talmud Rebbe relationship, and therefore he asked him to do a service for him, and in that way be able to give him a proper answer, creating that Rebbe Talmud relationship. There is an interesting Maritz Chayas on that Gemara I saw on Chafa Mabez in Baba Kama, where he quotes another Gemara, where Rabbi Yochanan in Sanhedrin, Rabbi Yochanan says he has a big question. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Whoever answers this question for me, I'll carry his kalim to the bathhouse." That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Right. So the Baruch Chayis quotes there that, why did Rabbi Yochanan say this? So says the Baruch Chayis, we see that in the Yerushalmi, he quotes the Yerushalmi in Brachas, that Rabbi Yochanan always had colds. Rabbi Yochanan had all in his zealous. He always had a runny nose. V'lo he niach tefillin shel rosh b'choref. Said the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yochanan did not wear a tefillin shel rosh in the winter. He always had a cold. He always was freezing. He didn't want to, I guess, bare his head. So he didn't wear the tefillin shel rosh in the winter. The Im Kain, says the Maris Chayis, Rabusa Gadola, that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan, saying, I'm going to do this service for you. What's the Chiddush based on our Gemara? He wasn't even wearing tefillin. Wasn't even wearing tefillin, and still he was ready to lower himself and said, I want to be a Talmud to this Rebbe, and I'm going to do this menial labor, even though it's an Eved type of labor, and I'm not wearing tefillin. So he says, that's the Chiddush. Even though the Iker Pirsum is betfillin, he also, Im Kain Yishlav Chash Eved, Ubechozos Yashlav Shivush Atarachim, that's the Chiddush. That's the Chiddush where Dafka Rabbi Yochanan, Yochanan did it. He also adds there one final point and then we'll move on. Why Dafka the tefillin? Why is tefillin a simon for a Ben Yisrael more than an Eved? Why tefillin? What is tefillin? Any mitzvah. But tefillin is just something that's seen. What about tzitzis? What about tzitzis? What about eating matzah? What about any other davening? What about any other mitzvah? There are other zman grumas that you could come up with. Okay, not all the ones I mentioned were zman grumas, but the Maritz Chayis there suggests, based on another Gemara in Brachas, Kishem Hashem Nikar Alech of Yerobi Meko Elu Tfilin Shabarosh. The Gemara earlier, which says that the Pasuk of Kisavo, that the nations are going to look to you, and they'll fear you, we dash an Elu Tfilin Shabarosh. So that's a symbol of a Jew, the tefillin that he wears. Just to mention the story again that we mentioned before, that is the Vilna Gaon was once wearing tefillin and he was davening Yeshua with his sibur. I heard it about the Grah. It's said about other Gedolim as well, one of those stories. But as Rabbi Wein says, none of them are said about me and you, right? They're said about a certain class of people. So whoever it was, I heard it b'shem the Grah. That the Grah was once a davening and the enemy, whoever the enemy at that time was, run into shul and they're about to attack, and the grut turns around, and the enemy says, "Ah!" and they run out. I said, "Rebbe, the Talmid asked Rebbe, what did you do? Did you like put some kind of enchantment on them?" So he says, "No, it's a Mefurish Gemara. Gemara says in Brachas, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'Yarbi Mecca, the name of God will be called upon you, and they're going to fear you." And the Gemara says, "Elu Tefillin Shabarosh." So they saw my tefillin, they ran away. They said, "Rebbe, we're also wearing tefillin." That didn't help us. We're also wearing tefillin. So he says, no, you got to be medayik in the chazal. The Gemara says, elu tefillin shebirosh, not elu tefillin she'al harosh. It says birosh. The tefillin had to sink in. The message of the tefillin are the shibud of the tefillin. It's elu tefillin shebirosh. That's what they're going to be fearful when the nation see a nation that serves the Kadosh Baruch Hu like that. So that's what's going to cause them fear. Okay, let's continue. And that's why that's a symbol of an Am Yisrael, and that's and more than a symbol of an Eved. Weiter. Amar Rebbe Lazar. There's a Rebbe Nevinzal, but we'll wait till the end. We'll see if we have time for it. Amar Rebbe Lazar. Almana shetafsa metaltalin bimizonoseha mashetafsa tafsa. An almana that grabbed metaltalin for her mizonos. What she grabbed, she grabs. Meaning she was tofes. She grabbed metaltalin. Really, lechadchila, only karka is meshubid to the mizonos, but if she grabs metaltalin, she can keep it. Major machlokas here. The riff here says, this is even if she grabs a lachar misa. Even lachar misa, that's how Rov Rishonim assume, even if she grabs it after her husband dies, she could still keep it. The Bahag quoted earlier in Tosas on Daf Peidalid, the Bahag there says, no, it's only Mechaim she grabs it. But most Rishonim say that it means La'achar Misa. The Ritva even says it's Meduik in the Lashon. Because what does it say? Almana Shetafsa. An Almana Shetafsa. An Almana Shetafsa means she's already an Almana. Almana Shetafsa. So that's why Rov Rishonim say that it's an Almana that grabs Mezonos, Mashetafsa Tafsa. Tanina Mihachi, Almana Shetafsa Mimtatam Mzonoseha, Mashetafsa Tafsa. So that is the Riff, and that is the Ritva. And just one other Shita, the Ran here, we quoted him last week. The Ran here says, you know what this must be talking about? Because there are other cases the other Gemara's we seem to say she cannot grab a Taltalin. It must be here she grabbed cash. Cash is Meshubit. There's a difference between cash and Metaltalin, says the Ran. Cash, she's allowed to be Tofes after Achar Misa, even though Metaltalin are not Meshubit. Because cash, once she gets it, it's as if she had collected it beforehand. That's the Ran here. V'chein kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar, also when Rav Dimi came, he said, Maisa b'kalas v'sharab Shabtai, shetafsa d'sakia malei amos. There's a story with a daughter-in-law of Rav Shabtai who grabbed a bag full of money, v'lo hayakob v'chacham l'hosi miyada. And the chachamim couldn't get it out of her hands, meaning the tfisa worked. Amar Ravina, v'lo amron elo l'mizoni. When do we say she could be toe-faced and she could keep it only for her mizonos? But if she would be tofes metaltan for her ksuba, then we would not let her keep it, we would take it out from her. Maskev lamar baravashi. Baravashi says, why not? What's the difference? Maishna l'ksuba. What's the difference for ksuba? To be mikarkoi v'lo mimetaltali. Ksuba l'chadchila only comes from karka, not from metaltalin. Remember, this is me'ikra din from the din of the Gemara. Bizman hazeh, the ga'onim ready with masakein, that even metaltalin are meshubit for the ksuba. But at least medina de Gemara. Medina de Gemara, only karka is meshubit to the ksuba, not metaltalin. Mizonas nami mikarka v'lo mimetaltali. Mizonas also. So it's the same thing, l'chadchila. Elo l'mizone, maida tafsa tafsa. But we say b'di evet, if she was tofes, she was tofes. Hachanami l'ksuba. So why is there any difference between ksuba and mizonos? Both have a l'chadchila from karka. So we should say both have a b'di evet for metaltalin. So amalei Rabbi Yitzchak, bar Naftali, Ravina, hachi minim shen the Rava kavasech. Even though we just said there shouldn't be a chilek, Rabbi Yitzchak, bar Naftali, said to Ravina, Rava says like you. Rava says like you, meaning that there is a chilek. Period. Next. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishmei Rabbi Yosi Ben Zimra. Almana sheshasa shtei shai mishaloshanim below tava mizonos ibda mizonos. Let's say an almana does not claim her mizonos for 2-3 years after her husband dies. So by that point, Rabbi Yosi Ben Zimra says she has lost her rights to collect mizonos. Because it seems like she was mocheles. It seems like she was mocheles. If it's already 2 or 3 years, she's already been mocheles. Some achronim say it must be that she expressed somewhere along the line that she was not interested beferish. Seems to be that that's what you would need. But Pashas told him, Shevechashach Azman, Machla Beferish Shalkach, She'im Lav, Afsha Machla Beliba, Einzel Al-Dvarm Shebelev. This isn't an umdina de muchach that we would say works even without any type of expression. So, seems like, right, to create, this is what the quote here in the Biur Hadam from some Achronim, to create a chalos, you know, this wouldn't be enough, just a 2 year without collecting. So it must be that somewhere along the line she even might have expressed something that she wasn't collecting, and now she's kind of trying to change her mind. But after 2-3 years, she's ibda mizonos. The Ramban adds also here that this only applies to an almana. If there's a married woman that does not collect, even for 2-3 days, she loses it. Why? Because by an almana, there she might have other sources of income. She might be able to have her Maisi Adayim. She might be able to have other sources. So we could give her some flexibility. Maybe she'll have her own sources of income for a couple of years, then she'll need Mizonos. But in Eishes Ish, she totally is reliant on the husband. So says the Ramban, in that case, she would definitely lose it sooner. So that's an almana after 2 or 3 years. So he asked the Gemara, "Hashta shtayim ibda shlol shriboy." If she loses it after 2 years, what does it mean? What does it mean 2-3 years? The Gemara is not telling us like we talk in 2-3 years. I'll be there in a couple of minutes. 2-3. It's not. What do you mean 2 or 3? If it's 2, she loses it. So 3, she should surely lose it. So lo kasha. No, there's a difference. Kan baniya kan bashira. It depends if you're talking about a poor woman or a rich woman. A poor woman loses it after 2. Rich after 3, she has more. Inami kan beprutza kan betsnua. Or there's a difference between a prutza and a tsnua. A tsnua, somebody who is more private, she loses it after only 3. A prutza will lose it after 2. The Sh'ar Misyanim Balacha here, it's also quoted in Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel here in the Gilyon HaShatz quotes the Mari Bruna. Mari Bruna has a tshuva in Simen Ayin Vav where he says, what's the punishment for someone who calls an isha a prutza? That was his shot. It's a 4-line tshuva. What's the punishment for that? He goes through, he says, prutza doesn't always mean the same thing. He says, if you look in Ksubas Dav Gimel, right, remember back then we had Mishum Tsnuos and Mishum Prutzos. Takana all the way back at the beginning of Masechta. That meant, really, what we would call non-Snias. What does prutza here mean? It doesn't mean non-Snias. Prutza here just means a woman who doesn't want to come to court. Or a woman who would come to court. That's all it means. It doesn't mean what we would call a prutza. Parutz literally just means go right a porid together, break the fence. It means you a woman who would go out. Says the Mari Bruna that if a man calls a woman a prutza, he can explain himself. Shalohay kamanasu prutza lesnus rak she'enet snua biyoser shetia la busha lava lebezdin. Right, you know, sometimes that's what parutz. Again, in our day and age, maybe it has a different connotation. But at least Bizman HaGemara, the word parutz was not always such a negative. It was not always such a negative, and you know it from putting this Gemara together. Gemara here and Gemara back on Daf Beis Mabez Gimel Amud Aleph. Next, Amar Rava. Lo Amar Elama Freya Aval Abal Yeshla. This is all about Mizonos. If she comes and says, "I won my Mizonos for the past 2 years," but Vlahabal Yeshla for the future, she didn't lose anything because she's coming now. I want to collect my Mizonos for the future. Period. By Rabbi Yochanan, Yisomim Omrim Nasanenu Biyomer Zlo Natalti. What if the Yisomim say we already paid her the Mizonos and she says I never got it? Rashi here says we're talking about the Mizonos for the upcoming year. That's how Rashi learns it, and the Megini Shlomo, right, the Matei Yeshua's grandfather, says, where do you get that from? Because it says Nasananu, not Paranu. Paranu sounds like for the past. Nasananu, we gave her, sounds like more for the future. Yochanan says, we already prepaid her, and she says, I never got it. Tosus on the bottom argues with Rashi. He says, what do you mean? How could they claim they already paid? It's a Maisa Bezdin that they have a Chiv to give, so they could claim that they already gave. So that's a discussion. So he argues on Rashi. He says we're talking about the past years. Okay. Either way. So the Yisomim say we gave, and she says I never got. Ami lavi raya. Who has to bring the raya? Nichse becheskas yasmikami. Do we say that the nechasim are really in the cheska, the chazak of the Yisomim? Meaning the assets, the nechasim go from the father to the Yisomim automatically. V'alamana lavi raya, and the almana she has to bring the raya to be motzi from the Yisomim. Odilma or not, nechasei becheskas almanakami. Once Chazal made the takana that the Yisomim have to give her mizonos, so it's as if that the chasim goes straight from the husband to her, and it's becheskas her v'al ha'Yisomim lavi raya, and she has, and they have to bring the raya to be motzi it from the almana. Again, it's an amazing concept that it might already be considered becheskas the woman. Tashmas, so let's try to prove it. The Tani Levi. Levi says, Mefurish. Almana, and Almana calls Banchlonis says, before the Almana gets married again, Al Yisomim Lavi Raya. The Yisomim have to bring the Raya. So far, that's already the proof. That the Yisomim are being the motzi, it's Becheskas the woman. Nisays, Allah Lavi Raya. But once she gets remarried to somebody else, then she has to bring the Raya because then she loses her chazak, she loses her rights, and therefore now she would have to bring the Raya to be motzi it from the Yisomim. The Avni Miluim has a lashon that Chazal or Mesakein, that not just to give her a zechus and mizonos, but to give her the power that she'll always win. Yada al ha'al yona. And therefore any suffix would go to her. So That is what we just proved, that it's Becheskas, her. Amr, see, Barashi Ketanoi, maybe it's a Machlokas Tanoim, maybe it's a Machlokas Tanoim, this issue. Why? The following. Mocheres Vikoseves, the first Tana holds. Mocheres, she could sell properties, Vikoseves, and she should write in the documents that she sells, Elu Mizonos Macharti, Elu Ksuba Macharti. This I sold to Kelak my Ksuba, this I sold to Kelak my Mizonos. Dibi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says she should be Mefaresh, she should write explicitly why she collected. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mocheres, Vikoseves, Stam. Rabbi Yossi says, no, she should just write the star that she sold these properties, and not to write. She shouldn't write what she sold it for. V'chein kocha yafe. And this is better for her. This gives her more strength. That's the machlokas. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, whether it's better for her to write, to explicate what she sold things for. So, my la b'hakam afakis, the Gemara says, what's the machlokas about? So maybe it's about our issue. L'Rabbi Yehuda, da'amar boy lefrushe. According to Rabbi Yehuda, why should she have to explicate and say, I got this from Mizonos or from my ksuba? Sovar nechsei b'cheskas yasmikaimi. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the nechasim are becheskas the yesomim. So therefore, if they're becheskas the yesomim, she has to prove that she didn't collect. So that's why she should write in her document that I got this from my ksuba or my mizonos. So we'll know exactly, she'll be able to prove that she did not collect yet. Rabbi Yossi Saver, no, but by Lefrusha. Rabbi Yossi holds she does not have to be mefaresh. Why? Nechse becheskas amana kaimi. Because the nechasim are really becheskas the amana. The yesomim have to prove. So she doesn't have to prove anything. So she should just write, you know, I sold these properties. And it's better for her not to write. Why? Rashi explains, because let's say she writes this for a ksuba, so then an earlier Baal Chov can come and collect before that. So therefore it's better for her not to write. So isn't this machlokas, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, a machlokas tanam about our issue? About our issue about are the nechasim becheskas the almana or becheskas the yesomim? So the Gemara says, no, there are two other possibilities. We'll do one of them today. There are two other possibilities what this machlokas is about. Number one, mimai, dilma, lukuli amana nechse becheskas almana kaimi. It could very well be that the nechasim are becheskas the almana. Right? The almana has it, that's, and the bal yesomim lahavi raya. Really, the yesomim have to prove it. If the yesomim have to prove it, so why should she have to explicate what she sold it for? For Rabbi Yehuda Eitzatova, Kamashlan. Rabbi Yehuda is just giving good advice. He's giving it Eitzatova to the Likri La Ra'av Tanusa, so she doesn't appear like a ravenous, hungry woman, right? So that is that's why. Meaning, if she sells everything without explaining, they'll say, "Wow, this woman eats a lot." All from Mizonos, so she's going to get a shame ra. Rashi says nobody's going to want to marry her. Nobody's going to want to marry her if she gets this name. So Rebbe is giving you good advice. Really, she doesn't have to prove anything. The nechazim are beches kasa. But she shouldn't look like a Rav Tanusa. Because if you don't say this, meaning, if you suggest that the reason you have to explicate is because nechazim are beches kasa the yesomim, so then why didn't the Gemara just prove it from the following? Hadvai Rabbi Yochanan, our question that Rabbi Yochanan said, who has the chazaka? Tif shalem yamasisa. Why didn't it prove it from the Mishnah Bez Hashem that we'll do tomorrow? Mocheres the mazonah shaloba beis din, v'koseves elam zonas b'charti. The Mishnah tomorrow says beferish that she should explicate what she sold it for. So why don't we prove from there? That doesn't that prove that the chasim are becheskas the yesomim? So elam masid lechel mashemina, so it must be no. From this issue of having to write what she sold it for, there's no issue. There's no raya. It's a tovah kamashvilon, because the pshat of why she should have to say why she sold it is really just good advice. Hachanami, it's a tovah kamashvilon, so to hear, we would say it's a tovah, period. So the machlokas is not about becheskas yisomim versus becheskas almana, but it's about this other issue of Eitzah Tova, and everybody holds becheskas almana. Then tomorrow we start off with another pshat. What might this machlokas be about? But even before that, the issue the Gemara says delo likru la rav tanusa. There are various Gemaras that talk about that it's not so good to be a rav tanusa, to be somebody who eats a lot. The Rambam in Hilchas Deos. I was in Hilchas Tamat Torah here. The Rambam in Hilchas Deos. Deos is before Hilchas Tamat Torah. Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah. Says the Rambam in Hilchas Deos in Perek Hay. Kishem shachacham nikar b'chachmatzu b'deosav u'muvdal mehem b'sharam. Just like a chacham is separated from the nation in his chachma and in his values. Kain sarach shei nikar b'maisav. Also, a chacham has to be recognizably different in his maisim. But ma'achala u'mashkeyu u'bevilasu b'aziyasrachav b'diburo b'iluchu. Whatever a chacham, and we all have to try to be chachamim, right? We all through our actions we have to be different. Ketzad. So said the Rambam starts off the first one, the first thing the Rambam talks about how a chacham should be different is in how he eats. Ketzad. Eating is such a major part of our day. There's so many halachas regarding eating. Netilas yadayim, benching, how you eat, and kavanah v'ibrachas. Ketzah. So the first thing the Rambam says, Talmud Chacham lo yehi gargaron. Shouldn't be somebody who eats a lot quickly. Ela ochel ma'achal haro'i lahavros gufo. Eat enough that your body needs. V'lo yachlem menu achila gasa. Don't eat achila gasa. Either type of achila gasa, as we've spoken about, Tosis talks about two types of achila gasa, when you're basically full, but you can fit something in, or even if you're totally full, v'lo ye rodif lamalos bitzno, ke'ilu shemismal nimachlo mashke acha tipach kreson. Don't be like those who go after food, to a very extreme degree. V'zeo, he says, v'shulchanos, he quotes, Chazals about how terrible that is. So a person has to eat properly, and you should eat. Rabban there says, eat the baisa al shulchano, lo yochal b'chanos, v'lo b'shuk, el fitzar gadol. Right, eating plays a major role in halacha, and is a place where we could be makadish ourselves properly. The Rabbi Bachai even has a whole sefer in the Kisser Rabbi Bachai. So most of it is the Karakemach, which is his philosophical work. But then he has, I think, called Shulchan Shel Arba. Shulchan Shel Arba. Shulchan Shel Arba. There's a whole sefer about, you know, halachas of eating. We quoted a Shulchan Shel Arba one time, I think. Remember where we quoted? By the coffin, no, it's a different Rebbe Bachai. It's a Rebbe Bachai, but I think it's Tetzavi. They used to be buried in their dining room tables. We quote a Shulchan Shel Arba in the Pesachim Gemara about the Zugos. About the doubles. What's the issue with the doubles? So we try to, we quoted there a Shulchan Shel Arba. That's the only time I remember that we quoted a Shulchan Shel Arba. Okay, we'll stop here. Everybody continue to have a Freilich and Chanukah. And Beth Hashem, yeah? I'll tell it to you after. We don't have it's a Chanukah, so we can't. Rebbe Nevenzel, yeah. He talks about the issue of a Rebbe Talmud today. Okay.